श्रीमद् भगवद गीता साधक संजीवनी चैप्टर 7 वर्स 10 बीजं मां सर्वभूतानां वेद्धि पार्थ सनातनं बुद्धिर्बुद्धिमतामस्मि तेजस तेजस्वी नामहम्। ओ पार्थ, नो मी एज द इटर्नल सनातन सीड ऑफ ऑल बीइंग्स। आई एम द इंटेलिजेंस ऑफ द इंटेलिजेंट, द ग्लोरी स्प्लेंडर ऑफ द ग्लोरियस। कमेंट: बीजम माम सर्वभूतानाम विद्धि पार्थ सनातनम। ओ पार्थ, I am the eternal seed, source of all beings. All of them are born of me, who am their seed. They live in me and in the end merge in me. They without me have no existence of their own. A seed grows out of a tree and it perishes after creating a tree. But the seed described in this verse is eternal, without its origin and end. In the 18th verse of the 9th chapter, it has been called an imperishable seed. Remaining imperishable and unaltered, this eternal seed is the source, producer, resort, and illuminator of the entire universe. In the Gita, the word seed has been used both for God and the embodied soul. In this verse, seed denotes God, because here the divine glories have been described. In the 39th verse of the 10th chapter also, the word seed denotes God, because there Lord Krishna declares, I am the seed of all beings. In the 18th verse of the 9th chapter, also the word has been used for God, because in the 19th verse of that chapter, Lord Krishna says, I am being and non-being both. In the 4th verse of the 14th chapter, the term seed stands for embodied soul. The seed signifies the embodied soul only when it has accepted its affinity for matter. Otherwise, it is a supreme soul, God. Buddhir buddhi matamasmi. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. People are called intelligent only because of their intelligence. Otherwise, they would be called dull. Tejas tejasvi namaham. The Lord is the glory of the glorious. This glory is a divine trait. Liberated souls possess a special aura which enables even dissolute and immoral persons to become virtuous. An exceptional fact: God is the origin of the universe. He always pervades everywhere. He exists even when the entire universe perishes. In the universe, there is nothing besides God. Therefore, in the Upanishads, part of different branches of Vedas, there are illustrations of gold, clay, and iron. As in ornaments made of gold, there is nothing besides gold. In the pots made of clay, there is nothing besides clay. And in the arms and weapons made of iron, there is nothing besides iron. Similarly, in the entire universe, which is born of God, there is nothing besides God. In the Gita, Lord Krishna has given the illustration of a seed. A seed is born of a tree, and after giving birth to a tree, it perishes. But God is not an ordinary seed. He is an eternal seed, an imperishable one. It means that unlike any ordinary seed, which after creating another tree, perishes, he does not perish. He remains the same. Gold, clay, an iron are seen with physical eyes in ornaments, earthenware, and arms respectively. But God is not seen in the world. So the seed too is not seen in a tree. When a tree sprouts, the seed in the form of fruit, then we come to know that the tree is born of that particular seed, though the tree grows out of a seed and ends in a seed. Similarly, God is the seed of the entire universe. This universe is born of Him and merges in Him. In the end, only God remains. Those who see only the tree and the world, instead of the seed and God, do not observe in the right perspective. It is only He who reveals Himself in various forms. The universe, including a body, is made of five elements, five subtle elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. But it so appears only if we think over it deeply, otherwise not. If we say that these physical bodies are made of earth because there is predominance of earth element, people without a deep thought do not believe, because they say that bodies are different from earth, clay, with which they wash hands. But if the entire universe is burnt to ashes, nothing will remain besides earth, clay. If we think deeply, we come to know that a body is born of the parent's sperm and ovum, which arise from grain grown out of earth. Thus, a body is said to be born of earth. In the end, it merges in earth. After death, a body is either buried or burnt or eaten by animals and birds. In either case, it returns into earth. Thus, the origin and end of a body is earth. It means that its middle is also earth, though it is not seen with physical eyes, but it can be conceived by thought. Similarly, by thinking seriously, the world can be perceived as a manifestation of the Lord. In the entire universe, there is nothing else besides the Lord. Having created the universe, He has also entered it. He, as the Self, also abides in these bodies. Thus, the entire universe is His manifestation. Appendix. The Lord's purpose is called Himself, the seed of all beings, is that all beings are His manifestation. There are infinite universes in those universes. These are endless beings, but the seed of those endless beings is only God. In spite of the creation of endless universes, there's no diminution in that seed, because that seed is not subject to diminution. With that one seed, several kinds of universes are born. We may scan the seed with a keen sight, yet the fruit, flowers, and leaves will not be visible in it, because they are latent in that seed, in their causative form. Even the two leaves born of the same tree are not similar. Even this diversity is present in that seed. There are several kinds of things in the universe. In different countries, there are several classes of human beings. In their bodies, there is so much difference that even the lines of the thumbs of two men are not similar. Their shapes, natures, interests, temperaments, assumptions, and feelings are also different. There are several kinds of cows, buffaloes, sheep, goats, horses, camels, and dogs. And in each kind, class, there are several subclasses. Among trees also, each kind of tree has several classes. Similarly, there are endless differences in each kind of knowledge. There are three main colors, and by their mixture, several colors are formed. Out of them, in each color there are so many differences that two men don't perceive a color similarly. Thus, in the universe, any two beings which appear similar are not really similar. In spite of so much diversity, the seed of the universe is only one. It means that God alone manifests himself in numberless forms, and in spite of manifesting himself in different forms, he remains one. God is endless from all viewpoints, such as place and time, etc. When even the universe created by God is endless, limitless, how can a limit be set on God? Up to this day, whatever has been thought of, whatever has been said, whatever has been written, whatever has been assumed about God, even if all this is combined, it remains incomplete about him. Not only this, even God himself can't describe the full details about himself. If he's able to describe it, how will he remain endless? End of chapter 7, verse 10 by Swami Ramsukdas ji.